If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, with that, let's head on to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Visit with our buddy Bill Landis, covers the Buckeye basketball team for The Athletic. Bill, thanks for taking the time. Back at home tonight against Rutgers. And, boy, if I would have said to you back in November, boy, a big challenge with Rutgers and Ohio State reeling a bit here in need of a win, I don't think we would have had that. It felt like so much positive momentum, and then over the weekend happens at Wisconsin, and it feels like you're right back in it. What is your read of this team here as now we're into the second week of February?
I'm trepidatious to even have one, because I feel like even every time I feel like I have a read on Ohio State, they go out and do the total opposite of what I thought they were going to do. So, and that's kind of the way it's been with the Big Ten all year, I think. So, to be totally honest, I don't know. I think, you know, you would like to see Ohio State respond from, it was a blowout loss to Wisconsin. I think it could have been worse than it was. I thought they played okay in the second half and kept it, you know, somewhat respectable 13 points when it looked like for a minute that the roof was going to blow off the place. You know, they got out of there, I think, in an okay position. And if you look at the three games they won previously, there were some things in those three games that I think were real signs of improvement for Ohio State, especially on the offensive end of the floor. I did feel like they were getting some things figured out. I thought they were a little tougher, played in some physical games and came out with wins, and then they go on the road around a little bit. So you like to see them come out and sort of reassert themselves and show that they were the team that they were in the three games prior. You got two games at home this week against two teams that have been very good at home and less so on the road. Like, you should win both these games if you're Ohio State. And if you don't, you're in a really tough spot, I think, tournament-wise, when you're looking down the road at where they could be projected.
Yeah, Bill, this week feels like two must-wins and two home games for this Buckeye team. What do you feel like I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, the give-a-crap level will be of this team? Because, as you mentioned, they had a heartbreaker at home to Minnesota, but then Northwestern was a get-right game, right, because of how Northwestern's played, and then a good showing against Indiana, and then that win at Michigan, huge. But I just felt like the energy wasn't great, and obviously the defense, which is what, you know, you're used to a Holtman team having great defense, just not there. We obviously can't just defend a three, and we let Wisconsin put 70 up, which was shocking to me. But just what do you think the give a crap level of this team is here at home tonight against Rutgers?
Yeah, I think it'll be high tonight. It's definitely fluctuated throughout the year, and you certainly would have liked to see it be really at its highest level when you go on the road to play a Wisconsin team that had already beat you in your own building, that I think, frankly, you match up kind of well against, that isn't really sort of a juggernaut on either end of the floor, but does play better at home and shoots better at home. That was a game, really, for the first, you know, 10 to 15 minutes or so, and then it's tied at 15, and Caleb Wesson goes out, and then all of a sudden it's like 33-20 or something like that. It was an unbelievable run that Wisconsin put on once Caleb Wesson went out with a second foul. Now, we all know how important Caleb is to Ohio State, but if Ohio State wants to do anything the remaining rest of the season, they have to figure out how to play without him. And that was an issue for them last year at the end of the year when he was suspended and they didn't have him at all. They were awful. They were one of the worst teams in the country. They haven't been quite that bad without him this year, but there's still been a significant drop-off. So maybe that speaks to that give-a-crap level you're talking about, some mental toughness where, you know, sometimes your best player is not going to be out on the floor. What can you do when those moments arise? And sometimes they've been good, sometimes they've been bad. I guess I'll give them the benefit of the doubt tonight and say that, you know, in this situation with two at home, knowing where they are in the standings and where they are tournament-wise, that they need to win, I think that level will be a little heightened tonight.
You know, Bill, there's a lot of factors here, and obviously DJ not being here is part of that. But I was watching Kentucky last night, and they've got three great guards. They've got these two active bigs who fly around and make all sorts of plays. They can get shots anytime they want. And I'm thinking, we handled them 8 weeks ago in Vegas. We're the better team. So how do you get from there to here? And I'm sure Holtman's trying to sort that out too, but I think about how confident we were playing through December and the team that is coming out here where you don't know what you're going to get on a night-in, night-out basis. This is the first real adversity that Holtman's felt as the coach is the last 6-8 weeks here, right? I mean, he hasn't had any. Up until this point, he's overachieved every expectation. If this has been the first disappointing stretch of his tenure, is he still trying to figure out how this has happened and what's happening here?
Yeah, I think so a little bit. You know, they were not very good last January, but I think if you took an honest assessment of what that roster was last year, it wasn't excusable, but at least last year's struggles made a little more sense. This year it made no sense based off what they did in the non-conference and all the things you said, and especially that Kentucky win, and then like it went downhill basically from the West Virginia game through the month of January. And, you know, I think some of it's immaturity. I think some of it is a little maybe some misleading results in the non-conference. I still think their non-conference schedule was good and was certainly better than it was last year. We all know Carolina's not that good this year. Villanova, I think Ohio State played well. I still think Villanova's good. I still think Kentucky's good, and Ohio State played really well. I think what we've seen from Ohio State, and it's true of a lot of teams, they're pretty good at front-running. If they can build up a little bit of a lead, they can really get into a rhythm, and they do have some good shooters that when they're confident, they can be really scary. And then this is a really good team. But when they get into these drag out games that you often find yourselves in the Big Ten, and it's super physical and teams are going to push you around and you're playing in the 50s and it's hard to find open shots, Ohio State struggles. And I just don't know. It's not I don't know if it's a physical toughness thing as much as it is a mental toughness thing. And maybe it comes with youth more than anything else, because they are quite young and slash inexperienced in the Big Ten, especially with the guys who are playing with the ball in their hands and most of the guard position. But there's not one answer, because if there was, you know, I wouldn't be talking to you guys, and Chris Holman would have found it already. I think it's kind of a weird thing that they find themselves in, and maybe what it boils down to is he just didn't handle success all that well. But I wish I had a better answer for you,
Bill. If they lose this one tonight, what's the panic meter for the tournament?
You put yourself in a bad position, because you have 5 games at home, you have 3 on the road. And only one of those road games, I would not even really consider Nebraska a gimme on the road, because Nebraska's been kind of weird this year too. They almost beat Maryland last night on the road, so that's a team that can come up and get you. If you lose, I think if you lose any of your remaining home games, you're putting yourself in a pretty tough position where you're going to have to go to Indianapolis and win a couple games to get yourself into the tournament, or at least win one game to get yourself into the tournament like they were last year. So if they can hold serve at home and basically finish 500 in the league, I think they're good. I think they'll be right where they are sort of right now on that 7-8, maybe 6 seed line, depending on how things go. If you drop one of these home games, I think that trend changes drastically, because I have very little confidence that they'll go on the road and beat Iowa or go on the road and beat Michigan State.
Bill, I'll get you out of here on this one. And obviously the primary hope here is that DJ gets well. Is there any – how are they operating? Are they operating that they won't see him again this year?
You know, I think they're operating with some optimism. I don't think they know. They're in touch with him, I think, as much as they can be. There's academic stuff happening on the side to make sure that he remains eligible. But this is, you know, Chris Holtman, I think, said it after the first game they played without him. It's uncharted territory. So I don't think they know, and I don't think they want to say anything that would set any kind of expectations relative to DJ returning. So I don't even have a guess, to be honest. I think they're going to operate as if he's not coming back, because I think you have to do it that way. And then we'll see where he's at. But I think they're going to give him all the time and space that he needs.
Bill, it was excellent. Appreciate your work, and appreciate you giving us a few minutes today.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.